Okay, this week is Parshas Naso. Naso es Rosh B'nei Gershon. It's the longest parsha in the Torah, 176 psukim. There are three things in Chazal that would have 176. Parshas Naso, Perek Kuf Yud Tes in Tehillim, and Masech the Bava Basra has 176 dafim, including starting with daf Beis, this Kuf Nun Kuf Ayin of 176. What is the significance of the number 176? So from Tehillim it's fairly obvious. It is 22 multiplied by 8. Those two numbers is a magical combination. 22 are obviously the letters of the Aleph Beis, the 22 letters which the world was created with, and 8 is the number Lamala Miderech HaTeva. So multiplication, Chazal represents the shlemus, the synthesis of these two concepts of the building blocks of creation that are lemaila miderech hateva, and this comes after, and therefore different the all different areas of koyach tefila with regard to Tehillim is koyach tefila. There's such a maila of 176 in the koyach Torah, Tor shebal peh and Tor shebichsaf. We have all this idea of 176, 22 multiplied by 8. And it is significant, all the commentators tell us that it is significant that we come to the parish, the largest parish of the Torah, after Shavuos. Because after Shavuos, it's like you get an injection. You get an injection of, you're pumped up. After Kabbalah Satara, you have a new chias, a new excitement for learning Torah. And that is why a lot of the, like for example, the Midrashim, the longest Midrashim are to be found in Parashas Naso. The Zohar, it's broken up, the Idra Rabba, Idra Zutra, the Idra Rabba was written in connection with Parashas Naso.
In Bamidbar
Rabba.
On
Parashas Naso. The largest Midrashim, the largest section of Zohar, the whole Zohar in fact, And the largest parasha, it comes after Shavuos, because Naso usually 95% of the time is the parasha we lay in after Shavuos. It's not an accident. It's Hashkocha Pratis. After we get that boost of Matan Torah, we have an excitement for Talmud Torah. Okay, Parashas Naso, the Mefarshim also tell us as a remez after you finish Shavuos, what is the next biblical holiday? The next biblical holiday after Shavuos is Rosh Hashanah. So it's already time to start thinking about the Yom HaDin. Tisha B'Av doesn't count. That's the day of Avelus. We're looking towards days of happiness, of Yom Tov. And Rosh Hashanah, really, you're supposed to bring Mishloach Manos. It's a pasuk in Navi. And Rosh Hashanah, you're supposed to bring Mishloach Manos each of the days. It's a happy day. It's a Yom Tov. Where's the remez that you now, after Shavuos, you're supposed to start thinking about Rosh Hashanah? Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lemar, Niso Es Rosh. Lift up your head towards Rosh. Rosh is a code for Rosh Hashanah. It's already time to think about the Yom HaDin.
The Bava Basra is only a very recent thing that is 176 blocks.
Yeah.
So the printing press,
it was,
Basra had 221, various other numbers.
Hashkocha Pratis, happened to work out that it was. Did they? Possibly.
They put. Every tfus had its own amount. There was no. None of the shas had. Everybody printed their own shas.
Okay. Okay, now before I also, a lot of things I have to have more remarks and more. I don't have so many answers. More questions or observations than answers. We have here in this week's parasha, beginning with Shlishi. Tzav es b'nei Yisrael v'yishalchu min hamachne kol tzorua v'chol zav v'chol tomei lo nofesh mizoch v'yanekev t'shalechum v'chutz l'machne t'shalchum v'lo yitamu es machaneim asher ani shoichim b'seicham. It says here the parasha of the requirement to send out of the machne those people who are contaminated, who are not worthy of living in the machne. The Mefarshim tells us that this is a remis to Golus. After we finish Shavuos, we're now heading towards the Bein Hametzon. That's the next thing. That's the next item on the agenda. Okay, it's not yet Shabbos Mevarchim. We're not up yet to Tammuz, but it's around the corner. And after Shavuos, that's really the next thing. You always plan ahead. The next thing, and it's not a coincidence that in this week's parsha we learned about this concept of the requirement to be sent out of the machne called Tzorua v'chol zav, v'chol tamei lo nafesh. It is merames on galus. In galus, we are in this category where the holy, the machne means the Beis Hamikdash, Yerushalayim, Eretz Yisrael, because of our sins, b'mei chato'enu, galinu me'artzenu, b'nei shachaknu me'al admosenu, v'ein anachni yichayim la'alos, l'eros, l'shtachmas, l'vonecha. It's merumus here in this section of the parasha that comes in Parashas Nasai after Shavuos. But the Mefarshim make a very important point, and they tell us that a person should not despair from Galus, especially since the parasha of Galus is described with the word Vishalichu. There are two words to describe Galus. There's a goresh, a gerusha, to be driven out, and then there's being sent out. There's a very big difference. The word shlichus means you're being sent out for a purpose, for a mission. It's rehabilitation. When we have here the tame, the zav, the tsarua, the tamer, the three different categories of people who are contaminated, they're being sent out. It's not a punishment. They're not being driven out of the machne, the holy place. They're being sent. They're being sent on a shlichus. There's a purpose. What is the shlichus? The shlichus is rehabilitation or to accomplish things in Galus. In Galus, there are things that are to be accomplished. We mentioned a few times that the concept of a magnet. That in Galus, we are able to, in the Kabbalists, they use the term to pick up the sparks of holiness that are found throughout the world. Chazal said the only reason why we went into Galus is in order to add gerim, which should come in contact with people in other parts of the world. They should learn from our beautiful ways and should join Klal Yisrael, and they should become a part of Klal Yisrael. So the question is, why? What would happen if there was no Galus? Let's say, the Mikdash would not have been destroyed. How then would the Gerim come to join Klal Yisrael? So the answer is, they would be drawn naturally towards us like a magnet. The potency of Kedusha would be so strong in Eretz Yisrael, anyone that had any nitzaitzitz of Kedusha would have been naturally drawn to Eretz Yisrael, just like a magnet has the koyach to pull towards it things that are of its own kind. But when the magnet has been weakened, the magnet has become dull because of our example tsarua, zav, tamei lo nefesh, then you have no choice but to actually go on a shlichus, to go out on a mission to elevate these sparks of holiness which cannot be drawn naturally through the potency of the Kedusha in the Machaneh. So therefore it's the message over here after we finish Shavuos and we come towards the Bein HaMetzarim and we have what's mentioned in the Parsha of Vishalchum in HaMachaneh, is Golus is not all that bad. Golus is not to be viewed as being driven out of the Holy Land. It's to be viewed as we're on a mission. We've gone on a mission, Vishalchum in HaMachaneh, to elevate the world, to be an Or La'amim, and to teach the world about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, now there's another important thing about this parasha of Golus Chazal. It's not the Rashi. I thought it was Rashi in this parasha. I couldn't find it. It's probably in the next parasha. That this parasha of Vishalchum in HaMachaneh, if you take note, was said right at the time of the Hakamas HaMishkan. It's here in Parshas Noso. Parshas Noso is Rosh Chodesh Nisan. This old continuation from Parshas Bamidbar. Rosh Chodesh Nisan. The Mishkan has been erected, and now the 12 Shvatim are going to offer their Korbanos. They're all going to be the same Korbanos. And on that day, Chazal say, 8 Parshios of the Torah were taught to Klal Yisrael. On this day, Rashi, I couldn't find that, but the 8 Parshios were taught to Klal Yisrael on the day of the Hakamas HaMishkan, when they're in the Nesim on Rosh Chodesh. And one of them is the parasha of Vishalchu min HaMachaneh kol tzura v'chol zav. The Farshim asked the question, it would not seem that this would be the best thing to teach Klal Yisrael on the day of the Hakamas HaMishkan. The day of the Hakamas HaMishkan was the greatest simcha for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu finally made for himself a mokum to rest his divine presence. And on this day, from all the Tayag Mitzvos, he's telling us, Rabbi Yisai, there's going to be Golos. I'm sending you out into Golos. Yishalchum in HaMachaneh kol tzura v'chol tamei v'chol tzarua. Is that what you want to go teach on the day of the Hakamas HaMishkan when there's a Mishkan Hashem has brought a Shechina down to this world? And the answer is that's exactly the point. Adrabba, it's exactly what Hashem wants to teach. Because now that the Shechina has finally come down to the world, you should realize the Shechina never will leave. Even if you need to go into Golus, even if this Mishkan needs to be taken apart, the Shechina will always travel with you wherever you are throughout the world. And therefore, specifically here in Parashas Nasai, when the Nesim are offering their Korbanos, and we are commemorating, and we are celebrating the Hakamas HaMishkan, we are celebrating the Hashuas HaShechina Klal Yisrael, we're also reminded the Shechina is with us wherever we go, even in Galus, to all four corners of the earth. Okay, now we have here in this parasha, the mitzvah of Gezel Hager and a full Shvua. Shlishi, Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lemar, Daber El Bnei Yisrael Ish O Isha, Kiyasu, Mikol Chatoi Sa'adam, Limol Mal B'Hashem, V'Oshmo HaNefesh HaHidah. From this introduction, you would think, who knows what this person did? This person, he violated every law in the book, every single one of the Tayag, every one of the Tayag mitzvahs, exactly what it says. Kiyasu, Mikol Chatoi Sa'adam, all of the sins of man, Limol Mal, to transgress, to commit a sin, B'Hashem, against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'Oshmo HaNefesh HaHidah. But then the Pasuk only goes on to list two things. He goes on to list that he swore falsely. A person was taken to court and they said to him, "Sir, you owe me $1,000. Please, I have two witnesses. They testify that you borrowed $1,000. You never paid back. If you paid back, you would have a receipt." And the person says, "I hereby swear by Hashem's name, holding the Sefer Torah, I never took the money, or I paid back the money. You swear falsely in order to steal. Or, and then it goes on to say, and now you come along and you confess, you come back to court and say, "I have sinned, I swore falsely, I confess, I have to pay back $1,200, or really $1,250. It's a fourth, which is a fifth from the outside. I confess, I have stolen the money, I have to pay the money, plus an additional fifth. And in the event that there is no one to pay the money back to, in the situation where I stole from a ger tzedek who has no relatives, then it says the money shall go to the kohanim." Now, this is besides the fact that this is described with the words of Mikol Chatos Adam Alimol Mal Mahashem, there is something also very unique about this parsha. It says, "V'his vadu, you shall confess, es chatosam asher asu, you shall confess the sin." The only place in the entire Torah where it says this expression about the concept of confession is here in this parsha of a person who swears falsely and steals money from his fellow. So the question is, why? Why from all of the mitzvahs of the Torah do we describe it with the words Mikol Chatos Adam? And we also mention this concept of confession. And the Bali Musar answer, I saw this in different Sfam, they all say the same idea, is that it's coming to teach you a Musar Haskel for all mitzvahs. Every time a person does an Avera, every type of error, any one of the Tayag mitzvos, he is stealing from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he is violating a Shavua. When a person is born, when a person is about to come into this world, Chazal say a Malach comes to the person and says, "Swear, make a Shavua that you will be a Tzaddik and you will not be a Rasha. You have to swear that you will fulfill the mitzvos of the Torah." By Matan Torah, the entire Klal Yisrael swore, made an Olah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we will observe the mitzvos. A person tries to make a Shavua b'zman hazeh, he's not going to a mitzvah, it's meaningless because mushba v'oimed mehar Sinai. You have already sworn at Har Sinai that you will observe the mitzvahs. So the truth is, every time a person does an avera, this is really just a binyana for all of the mitzvahs. Every time a person does an avera, what he's really doing is he is revealing that he has sworn falsely to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he is stealing from the talent, from the gifts that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given him. Hashem has given a person wealth, money, health, a talent, and you're taking that talent that was meant to be used for holy purposes to fulfill HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will, and you're using it for averos. you are violating this very parasha. And this very parasha means that when you confess, every time a person confesses to any one of the Tayag mitzvahs, you basically have to confess to the fact that you swore falsely at Har Sinai, or you swore falsely when you were born, and you have to confess that you have stolen from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I have stolen from the time, from the wealth, from the gifts that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given me, and I have used it for purposes that were not meant to be. That's why this parasha serves as a binyanav. Okay, let's go to another idea. We have here in this week's parasha the mitzvah of Birchas Kohanim. And Birchas Kohanim, we learn Birchas Kohanim really is a combination of what it says here in this week's parasha and what it says back in Parasha Sav. Vayisa Aaron es Yodov. He lifted up his hands. Here in Parashas Nosa, it only tells us the Nosach, Yivarecha Hashem v'yishmerecha, Yoyah Hashem panav v'lecha v'chunecha, Yisrael Hashem panav v'lecha v'yasim v'chashalom. It does not say the word, it does not tell us the technique that it must be done by the Kohanim extending their hands. This that we know, the Kohanim bless Klai Yisrael by extending their hands, we've learned in Parashas Sav, Vayisa Aaron es Yodov el Ha'om v'yivarechem. And Rashi says there, how did he bless them? He blessed them with Birchas Kohanim. And the question there we discussed yesterday, how could he have blessed him with Birchas Kohanim when he was not yet commanded the mitzvah of Birchas Kohanim? The answer we gave was that he knew the Ruach HaKodesh, or maybe in fact Aaron himself was the one that invented Birchas Kohanim, and here in Parashas Nota, Kadosh Baruch Hu told him, continue what you have been doing. But we do learn from the combination of Parashas Sav and Parashas Noso, there is a Nusach, and you also have to bless with your hands extended. Now, blessing with the hands extended, we have a tradition, there are two parts. Number one, the hands must be extended from the shoulders outwards. In addition, the hands have to be put in a certain position. Either they're held down, they're held up, and the fingers are spread in a certain way. They're spread in a certain way. Now, these two ideas are both hinted to in a Medrash. The Medrash in Shir HaShirim says, Mashkiach min achalonos, meitzitz min acharakim. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he blesses a Klal Yisrael by looking through the window and peering through the charakim, through the cracks. And Chazal say, what is the meaning of the Shbaruch who blesses us? He's Mashkech Men HaChalonos. It means he looks from behind the shoulders of the Kohanim. A window is a wide open area. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu is standing behind the Kohanim, from the Aron HaKodesh, and he looks out, he's looking over a wide area. When he looks above the shoulders of the Kohanim, it's like he's looking out of the window. When the Pasuk goes on to say, Meitzitz Min HaCharakim, from the lattice work, from the cracks, that means Hashem is looking through the fingers. Through the fingers. So we see from this medrash there are two dinim in the posture of the Birchas Kohanim. There are the shoulders, neit meshkech min hachaloinos, the shoulders, the hands have to be raised at shoulder length. In the Mikdash, when the Shechina was shown on the fingers, the hands were raised above the head, and then there's looking through the fingers. So in the Sefer, Shevilei Pinchas, by Pinchas Shreeman, he explains what is the significance of the two dinim Birchas Kohanim of the shoulders and the fingers. So he says something very interesting. Here in Parashas Nosa, we learn about the Kohanim carrying the Aron. They carry that. Who is the one that carries the Aron in Parashas Noso? Or really back in Parashas, it's really more in Parashas Bamidbar, is the Levim. In Divrei Hayomim, it mentions that the Kohanim carried the Aron. When they brought the Aron into the Beis Hamikdash, it was the Kohanim. And there's a discussion, what does it mean that the Kohanim carry the Aron? What does it mean the Levim carry the Aron? Some want to say that really it was meant to be that the Kohanim should carry the Aron, but there was a shortage of Kohanim, so in the meantime the Levim carried, or the other way around. Or some say that the Kohanim are called the Levim are called the Kohanim. There are many answers to explain the contradiction in Tanakh.
We went through it in
Nechemi. There's a contradiction. There are different approaches. The contradiction. Some places the indication is the one that carried the arm of the Kohanim. And in some places, Tanakh, the indication is that the Levim carried the arm. So there are different answers. But let's work with the approach that there is a Tkufa, there is a place for the Kohanim to carry the arm. Especially once they came into Eretz Yisrael. Let's learn with that approach. According to many of them, learn that that the Levim carried the arm was only until they came into Eretz Yisrael. When they came into Eretz Yisrael and they established Mishkan Shiloh, the Levim were done. Now the Kohanim take over. The Kohanim now, they are the ones to carry the Aron, and they are also remazim to this in the Torah as well. I don't have the details. Now, so when you carry the Aron, where do you carry the Aron? On your shoulder. When you do the Avoda, what part of the body does the Kohanim primarily use to the Avoda? They use the fingers. When you apply the Dam Chatas, what is the one of the most important karbanos? The main karban, in fact, is the karban Chatas. How do you apply the Dam Chatas in the four corners? The Taval Etzba'o Ba'adam with the fingers. You dip your finger into the blood and you apply the blood in the four corners of the Mizbech. So Pinchas Shimon says a very beautiful idea. What are the role of the Kohanim? The Kohanim are the spiritual leaders. Spirituality in Klal Yisrael is divided into two parts. Torah and Tefillah. They are the teachers. They teach. They teach Torah to Klal Yisrael, and they also lead Klal Yisrael in Avodah, in doing, bringing the Korbanos. Korbanos represents Tefillah. Uneshalma Farim Sifaseinu. When the Kohanim here on Parshas Nosa are given the role of giving bracha to Klal Yisrael, they're given bracha. The posture, the technique of giving the bracha is extending their hands over their shoulder and raising their fingers in a unique way, and a Kadosh Baruch Hu channels his bracha over the shoulders through the fingers. Mashkiach menachalonis meitzitz menacharakim, to teach you that bracha only comes through the shleimus, through the synthesis, the integration of Torah and Tefillah. Person should not make a mistake and think all he needs to do is learn. There are people that make that mistake, they're very big mitzuyanim in Talmud Torah. They blamdanim, they learn. But tefillah is not their thing. Tefillah, you come late, you leave early. Mincha, the minyan, not for me. Ma'ariv, certainly not for me. It's just not my thing. Tefillah is not my thing. That's not an approach. And there are people that are very big, very, very medactic in tefillah, but they're just not the big learners. Learning is not their thing. Each one is a wonderful thing, but shleimus, an Adam HaShalem is one that is able, that masters both Torah and tefillah. You're davening.
Levi says, more avodah zos lachem. That's what he means.
Yeah.
The guy says, I'm a tzaddik. I believe in everything, but what do we have to go through all this work for?
The shleimus has both.
Davening and things.
Learning is only as good as your davening, and davening is only as good as your learning. It's a cycle. It's a cycle, a vicious cycle. The two go together. This message, this idea is captured in Birchas Kohanim. The Kohanim bless Klal Yisrael with their arms and their fingers. Their shoulders are carrying the Torah. They're carrying the bottom, the poles that carry the Aron are resting upon their shoulders. Torah. Their fingers are bringing the korbanos, are applying the blood, the avodah tefillah, which represents tefillah, on the corners of the mizbeach. It's only through the two together does bracha come to Klal Yisrael. Torah together with tefillah. Where does Masim, good question, where does Masim Tovim, Torah, Masim has been Adam Lachavera, let's talk about it, Adam Lamokim. Torah and Tefillah are two avodos which are been Adam Lamokim. Learning is an experience, and Lubavitcher Rabbi says, that when you dive in, you talk to Hashem. When you learn Torah, Hashem is speaking to you. So it's a communication. Gemilas Chasadim is dealing with your fellow man. But in your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have to have this two-way communication. Two-way communication is Torah and Tefillah. Okay, now, let's go to now. Once we're talking about Birchas Kohanim, there's a short Ha'ara. At the end of Birchas Kohanim, it says, Yisro Hashem Pana V'lecha V'yosem L'cha Shalom. I will grant you peace. Should it not be V'yosem Lochem Shalom? Peace generally means among you can't have peace with only yourself. Peace means you have a partner. Yeah, you want to make peace, you have to have a partner, right? Haven't we been hearing that in the news for the last million years? You have to have a partner to make peace. You can't have peace with yourself. So if we hear Hashem is giving a bracha to Klal Yisrael, the bracha says, V'yosem lochem shalom. Why does it say the word V'yosem lecha shalom? The question is in fact the answer. The ultimate shalom is in yourself. Person does not live a double life. Every person, to some degree, inner peace, every person, to some small, microscopic degree, lives a double life. The way you behave when no one is watching is not the way you behave in public. The way you behave, your way you like to be perceived by other people is not the way you know that you truly are in yourself. There's always contradictions. It's not healthy. The ultimate brach is, Yisro Hashem Pono Ve'lecha, Hashem should lift up His face to the Yosim L'cha, should give you the koyach that you have inner peace. And in the nail of a person, it has inner peace. In the nail, there will be peace among Klal Yisrael. The only reason why there's no peace among us is because we really have no peace among ourselves. We have no inner peace. You have to start with the Shoroshim. And in fact, I think this is hidden to the Mepharshim tells us there are, how many words are there in Birchus Kehanim? There are 15 words. How many days are there on the Shalosh Regalim? Total number of days. 7, 8, 1. 15 days, right? 16 days. How many were?
16.
No. No Imakoilel. No Imakoilels.
Well, Sukkot is 7.
So, I'm not recalling from memory. Maybe it's the end. The sum was Shmi al Bnei Shavu, and that's. All right, rewind, cut. Okay, let's say that for another time. Okay, I don't remember what I'm saying. I don't remember how that works. I don't remember. Okay, let's go to another idea. Okay, let's talk about the parish of Sota. The parish of Sota is an interesting Rashi. Parish of Sota comes right after the parish of Maisrais. A person is required to give Maiser to the Kohen. Pasuk says, Hashem bless you, and he gives you Brach v'chol Truma, l'chol kodshei v'nei Yisrael, asher yakrivu l'kohen lo yiyeh. Truma. A person has a field, and he is successful, the crop is plentiful, and he is successful, he has an obligation to give truma. V'ish es kodoshov lo yiyu, ish asher yitin lakoyen lo yiyah. Pasuk goes on to say that a person should give, if he has in his possession kodoshov, holy things referring to truma, he shall give this to the Kohen. Period. That ends the parsha. And then begins the long parsha of Sota, the unfaithful wife. Rashi asked the question, what is the significance of this, of the smichos, the juxtaposition of the requirement to give mais truma to the kohen and the parsha of Sota? Rashi says, watch out. Why don't you, if you don't give your truma to the kohen, I'll make you come to the kohen anyway. I'll make you, if you're not going to give him the gift, you'll have to come bring your wife to him. So Rashi, let me read the Rashi Pasuk Yud Aleph. You'll have to come to the Kohen no matter what. You might as well come to the Kohen on good terms and not come to the Kohen on bad terms. Ish ki sit te ishto ma kosov l'mala min ha'inyan. What does it say in the Pasuk? What does it say in the Pasuk right before the parasha of Sota? V'ish es kodoshav lo yihiyu. Im atom akev matnos hakohen. If you refuse, if you hold back, do not give a gift to the kohen, then guess what? I'm going to make you come to the kohen no matter what. Chayecha, by your life, she titzarech lovoy etzlo. You'll anyway have to come to the kohen. Lohavi lo es hasota, to bring him the sota. So you better go and make an appointment with the kohen. You'll be yoytze. And that will spare you. This is what Rashi says of the Derech Pshat. So I saw in a very interesting sefer called Windows to the Soul by Dr. Bernstein. He's a psychologist. He has a very fascinating, he looks at the Torah in the eyes of psychology. And it's very fascinating insight into the Parsha of Sota. So firstly, let's go through step by step. First of all, he explains, he doesn't ask this question, but between the lines, he seems to be asking this question, why is it that the Sota is only the man brings the wife to the Kohen? Why doesn't the wife have a chance to bring her husband to the Kohen? Absolutely, but who brings who? Who brings who? She makes it that he should go. She hides. Okay, technically, but it's not the, that's not the approach. The approach is it's the man is in fury and he brings his wife. It doesn't seem like the wife has much of a chance to bring her husband. Of course, the Chazal said, what our mayor is saying is that when they test the woman, if the man has been nichshol, if he was nichshol in being unfaithful, it's not exactly clear what that means, because a man technically is allowed to have more than one wife. Okay, that's the age-old question. A man can have more than one wife and a woman cannot have more than one wife. But let's say the man was nichshol with an ish. Let's say a man had a relationship with an ashes ish, a married woman. That's a big problem. That's serious business. He's chayiv misa for that. So then, the same way the ward is not going to work. The ward is it's not going to have any effect on his wife, because he's just as guilty as she. He has done the same exact thing. Let's say he was nichshol with a penuya. That I don't know. Maybe also he was still unfaithful to her. That's a question. I don't know. Maybe it's
the May Sultan is not going to do anything.
It's not going to work
because he got what he.
He's also, but the man is always bringing. The man is always bringing the woman to the. And we don't find the woman bringing the husband. Why is that so? So he doesn't really answer the question directly, but what he says is very interesting. He says, Adam HaRishon was created alone. The first Ali in the Torah, Adam HaRishon exists without a wife. He's there, and then one day he wakes up and Hashem brings him all the animals. He looks at this animal has a zug, and this animal has a zug, and then he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where is my zug? Pasuk says, "Vayapal Hashem lokim al adam tardema." Hashem puts upon man a deep sleep. He falls, and then a Kadosh Baruch Hu performs this surgical operation. He takes the tzela, and he wakes up, and there is Chava. But Chava, from the very first moment she is in existence, she already had her zivuk. She already had her husband. So that means, built into the DNA of a man is he can be alone. Because for a period of time until he was put to sleep and Chava was created, Adam HaRishon was alone, was Levad. But from the very first moment that Chava came into this world, from the very, very first moment, Chava was together with Adam HaRishon. So we see over here. We see over here a chilek between Chava and Adam in their existence, from the time of creation. Were they alone, or were they already at a point where they were together with their zug? So therefore he explained, that's what Chazal said, Tov l'meisav tondo l'meisav armalo. Okay, what does it mean, Tov l'meisav tondo l'meisav armalo? That a woman, in halacha, a woman would settle for a non-ideal zivug much quicker than a man. A man's not going to settle so quickly, because a man, what are my options? Either you marry her, she's the last woman on the world. That's it. This is the last woman on the world that's going to marry. You're going to marry her or not? A man can say, I'll pass. I won't marry her. There's no one else. How can you be all alone? I could be all alone because built into my DNA is to be all alone. Adam HaRishon was all alone. Adam HaRishon was all alone for a period of time. An Isha Chazal say, if you tell her, listen, it's either him or no one else. I know he's not Prince Charming, but this is all you got. She says, okay, I'll take him. Chazal say this. I don't know, today in the modern world, you'll tell me it's not necessarily true. I don't know, but this is what Chazal say. Chazal have a term. It's used all over. Tov, it's better. Lemesav, to sit. Ton, do. Two bodies. Lemesav, than to sit. Amaloy, than to sit all alone. Why? Because Chava does not have, a woman does not have built into her DNA the ability to be alone. Because from the moment of her existence, from the first moment that the rib was extracted, she already had her her zivuk. Therefore, that explains why it's the man taking the woman to the kohen, not the woman taking them, because the nisayon for the woman is that much greater. If a husband does not give his wife the attention that she deserves, she will be much quicker for her to be unloyal to be to stray than a man will stray, because she needs companionship, she needs that attention, she needs to be with someone because it's part of her nature. And if the husband is not going to give her what she needs, the attention that she deserves and she needs, she's going to stray. Because her essence is, she is a person that needs to have companionship. A man does not get along with his wife, and his wife does not give him the attention that he deserves, and he finds himself to be all alone. My wife doesn't want to talk to me. She doesn't want to make dinner for me. Or she's making, on purpose, she's making my life miserable. So, okay. So I won't have a relationship with her. I'll sleep on the couch. It's okay. I can do it. I have a backup plan because that's how Hashem made me. Hashem made me all alone. Hashem gave me a gift. If you don't want to, you don't want to participate, you don't want to be with me, I can handle it. So therefore, going back to the thing of the Torah, the only time that a man takes, the reason why it's the man that takes the woman to the Kohen, not the woman, is because it's not really necessary. It should not happen that a man should be nichshol. I mean, we know today in the modern world, that's not so obviously, but in the Torah world, what's the problem? Your wife doesn't talk to you. She's nasty to you. So, okay, so go to Qumran, exactly. So go it alone. Go it alone. You can handle it. There is an expectation to be alone. A woman cannot do that. This is what Dr. Bernstein says. This is an idea from my psychologist. Okay, this is what he's pretty. He doesn't.
London Bernstein.
What? No, London Bernstein. I don't know. Okay, now he doesn't say. I embellished it a little bit more than what he said, but this is pretty much what he says. Now then he goes on, and this is a very beautiful idea. Now, is this from him or is this from someone else? I'm not sure this is from him. It could be from someone else. But let's go to the next step. What is the previous pasuk? What does Rashi say? If you're not going to go to the Kohen and give the Kohen what the Kohen what he deserves, then you have to bring your wife to the Kohen. It's much deeper than that. Why don't you go and get, why are you not giving Truma to the Kohen? It's not because I don't like the Kohen. It's because I'm a selfish person. I can't part with my hard-earned money. I sweat it away to nurture the crop. Now, finally, I've taken everything into the silo. I measure. I have to go give the Kohen 1/50th of tshuva to this. The Kohen's a nice guy. I like the rabbi. He's a good guy. He's a very nice guy. But I'm selfish. I can't give of myself. I can't give of myself to the Kohen. If you have that bad midah that you can't share a few dollars with someone who needs the money, the Kohanim was supported by Klal Yisrael. So this is the depth of Rashi. That means it's a problem all around. You'll also naturally be too selfish to share yourself with your wife. When your wife needs some time, some quality time to go shopping or some time to do something together, I don't have time for you. If you're too selfish to part with $5 to the Kohen, you're certainly going to be too selfish to share, to give part of yourself, part of your money, part of your time, of your attention to your spouse, to your wife. And what's then going to happen? So the wife says, the wife built into my DNA is, I need company. I need company. Tov l'meisav tandam l'meisav amaloi. From the first moment that a woman came into the existence of this world, she was connected to a man. She already had her zivok. You're not giving me attention? You're not giving me attention? I have a need to find companionship and attention somewhere else. Okay, so we combine these ideas together, it creates a much deeper understanding of the smichus, a very simple Rashi. Rashi means it's a matter of money. You have to make an appointment with the doctor. Better make the appointment with the doctor when you're healthy than to have to make the appointment with the doctor when things are no good, right? You have to go for preemptive medical attention. You go to the doctor, you should get a regular checkup. Pashup shot! You don't want to go and give him the truma? I'll make you go come to the Kohen and it's not going to be good. It's much deeper. Again, to review, The yisoid is, you have to realize, a woman needs attention. Now, I don't mean to say this in the 20th century and start crazy things. I'm talking about going back to just Chazal, from Chazal's point of view. Maisa Bereishis. Adam was created alone. He's a loner. A woman was created with companionship. A woman has a need for companionship. Not giving money to the Kohen is a sign, it's a symptom of selfishness. If you're selfish with your money, you're selfish with your time, with yourself and your relationships with other people. That will have horrible consequences with a woman, because a woman needs that companionship, she's going to find it somewhere else, and then you're going to have to go and bring her to the Kohen.
The DNA that causes manliness,
yeah,
manhood, is the Y chromosome. There's only one of those. The women have two X's.
Yeah.
So it bears
out. Okay, alright. Support. Okay, now let's discuss another connection, another interesting observation. Observation about the Koach of Talmud, the Koach of Talmud Torah. In Parashas Naso, we have two parashios juxtaposed. Sota and Nazir. What comes first? First comes the parasha of Sota, and then comes the parasha of Nazir. Chazal asks, what's the connection? Kol haroya Sota bikul kula, yazir atzmai min hayayin. If you happen to be in the Beis HaMikdash on the day when you see a sota being brought to the Beis HaMikdash, they uncover her here and they go the entire procedure. Person says, I don't want that to happen to me. Look what happens. You have a little wine. One thing leads to another. Before you turn around, you start doing the worst averos, and then this terrible thing happens. You have to nip it in the bud. And the way to nip it in the bud is you have to right away become a porush. You have to train yourself not to indulge in the good things in life. Not to drink wine, not to beautify yourself with long hair, with cutting your hair, not letting your hair grow wild, and not to contaminate yourself, lemes. Okay, I know what you're thinking. Don't get me going there. Okay, so this is that. So the problem is, why then in Seder Noshim is it the other way around? In Seder Noshim, which Masechta and Daf Yomi, what do you learn first? Do you learn first the Masechta Nazir, or do you learn Masechta Sota? So you learn first Masechta Nazir, and then you learn Masechta Sota. So this that the way the Mishnayos are ordered seemingly is a contradiction to the Chazal mentioned over here. Kolaroya, in this parash we have Sota, and we have Kolaroya Sota Bikil Kula Yazi Atzma Min Hayayin. So we'd expect first comes Masechta Sota, and then we see how terrible this is. So then we should learn Masechta Nazir in order to train ourselves that we should not commonly day such a terrible thing. Yet the Mishnah is just the opposite. You learn Masechta Nazir first, and then you learn Masechta Sota. So how do we understand this? So then the answer is exactly the point of Talmud Torah. That's exactly the essence. Talmud Torah is preventive medicine. By learning Torah, engaging in Torah, it trains a person. Torah Shebech Sav is telling you the reality. It's telling you the mitzis. But through the gift of Torah Sheb Al Peh, a person can bring upon himself a situation where it's not even an Nisayon. He won't even come to see the Soita Bikul Kula. It won't have any effect on him. A person's right, Soita Bikul, the Torah Shebech Sav is different than the Torah Sheb Al Peh. And to elaborate upon that idea, the same idea that the Koyach of Talmud Torah totally changed the person's attitude and protects him to a very great degree, we have here the unusual ordering of the Nisim at the end of the parasha. Who is the first Nasim to be the Karban? Is Yehuda. Now, who would you expect to be the second? Yehuda, why Yehuda? He's not the firstborn. Well, Yehuda's the Melech. He's the leader. He was the Nasi. From Malchus comes Yehuda, David, Lo Yosef, Shev, Yehuda, Michal, Ben Ergal. Now, who, if you ran into, who would you give the number two? Issachar, you give number two? The learner? Who would you give it to? I know, who would you think? If the Torah did not tell us Issachar comes number two, who would you think? You were singing Reuven. I think the Torah orders the Shvatim 13 times. In Chamishichum Shetara. 7 of the 13 times is a different order. So obviously, and most of those times, the second one is Reuven. Reuven is the oldest. So after the Melech comes Reuven. Or maybe we should give it to Yosef. Whatever there is, different orders. But Yisachar is not necessarily the person you is the Talmud Chacham. It's not necessarily the person that you would expect to come number two. So why indeed here is he number two? So Rashi really discusses this. Rashi touches upon this. And Rashi asks another question, number two, Nisanel, who is the Nasi of Yisachar? Nisanel ben Tsuar. And in reference to Nisanel, it says the word Hikrif twice. All of the Nisim, when we describe their korbanos, the trop is exactly the same. The Baal Kari just rattles them off, 1, 2, 3. He can do it in his sleep. But the first two, you got to be careful. The first one, you got to be careful because it's the first one, so it's a little bit different. The second one, it's Bayom Hasheni Hikriv. There is an extra word. Oh, and once he added one extra word, everything gets messed up. The whole flow of the trop gets messed up. The Nikud might get messed up a little bit also. Everything gets messed up. So why? Because of one extra word throws everything off balance. Bayom Hashani Hikriv. Hikriv, Nisanel ben Suar, Nisi Yisachar, Hikriv, Es Karbono. It says the word Hikriv twice. So Rashi picks up upon this and asks, why does it say it twice? So Rashi says, Pashtra is because people were complaining. Why does the Yisachar come first? Yisachar is not the oldest. It HaKadosh Baruch Hu said this. Mat Hamolema Hikriv B'Shivta Shal Yisachar Mash Lo Nemar B'Chol HaShvatim Rashi Lefi Shebor Reuven. There were complaints. You think people complain today? Oh, people complain back then as well. They right away complain. Why does Yisachar go as number two? Reuven should be Bor Reuven. The ear of the Omar Achash Kadmani Yehuda. Achi, it's a big enough insult that my younger brother Reuven went first, or Yehuda went first. I'm the oldest. It's bad enough that my younger brother Yehuda. I have to also suffer this indignity that you suffer with another younger brother. Achi Yikriv Ani Achrav. Amalei Moshe. So Moshe says, "Quiet, shtoik." This is what Hashem said. Hashem wants it because we're going to follow the Seder of the Golem. All right, he goes through the whole process, all the answer. Mipia gvur nemar bo she yakrivu kesed masim le deglem le kachama hikriv 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 es karbonai vuchas ayud. He goes on and he explains all derech pshat. Okay, now in addition to this pshat, really enhancing the pshat, Mepharshim says so they want to combine two things together. First of all, my friend he has a piece. I don't know if he's quoting from himself or he's quoting from someone. He says that this person, Nisanel ben Tsuar, deserves a gold medal. He deserves incredible chesed that he did for Klal Yisrael that we can't even begin to understand. Because if it was not, and it was one of us, can you imagine? You come to shul, you make a kiddush. Okay, you have lined up in the shul, you have a very successful, young, healthy shul in there, smachos. Everyone's making a simcha 1 week. For the next 12 weeks, the caterer is booked. There are 12 bar mitzvos 1 week after the other. Or do you think all 12 parents are going to make order from the caterer the exact same thing for 12 weeks? No way. First week, you're going to watch what did they serve, what kind of challah, what kind of kishka, what kind of cake, and what kind of tablecloths, and so on and so forth. And you can bet that the day after, the right at Mitzvah Shabbos, of the first bar mitzvah, the second family, they're going to call up the caterer. You know, this wasn't good and that wasn't good. I want an upgrade. I want it to be a little bit better. We're going to put the tables this way. We're going to do it a little bit different. We're going to outdo the first. And then it comes the third week. You can bet your bottom buck that it's going to be even better. And the fourth week. That's Kachi Darkoi Shalolam. People want change. People don't they want change. They want to make it better. You all have, it's human nature to make it better. And once you get into this vicious cycle, there's no way out. Once already you get...
There's no way out. We use the next week, use previous week.
Look what goes on in the world of weddings today. People are losing their minds to keep up with the Joneses. The whole system is to send to go. You have to go to seminary. If you don't go to seminary, girls don't go to seminary today, can't do a shirach. How much does it cost to go to seminary? 30,000. How much?
23.
Does that include coming to visit them in the middle of the year? Just tuition and the clothing and the cell phones and the visit in the middle of the year. And then coming back, you have to send to college. And then you have to do this after that. You go out of your mind, mama, the sister. And if you don't do this, well, did the parents come visit their daughter when she was in seminary? They didn't come visit? Oh, that means something is wrong. Something is wrong, right? Something, the shirich is not a good shirich. Right, so we know for a fact, we all know good and well that when there's an addiction to keep up, and the cycle gets worse and worse. The only one that had a chance to nip it in the bud was number two. Yehuda Nachshon ben Aminadav Lamate, Nachshon ben Aminadav Lamate Yehuda. Yeah, and the first one. All right, what do you want from him? He's the first guy. He's the carbon. He's the first one. Whatever he does, he does. He did it with Shem Shem, he can't complain. Now comes along number two. Number two is going to make a precedent. If he's going to try to outdo number one, and he has down the line, 3, 4, 5, they're all watching. Once you start this vicious cycle, or this style of keeping up or doing bad competition, there's no way out of it. Nisano Ben Suar, my friend, he writes, he deserves a gold medal. What he did is, he did exactly the same thing to the dot. It was not Mishane, not more, not less, to do exactly the same thing. I know the Amar Chazal, they were Mechavin on their own, so on and so on, but they don't have to say all that. Why? Because he knew that there are 11 more people, there are 10 people that come after him. And it's going to get out of hand. If you do the same thing, then everyone will also do the same thing, and that way there will be no problem. That is his Mila. Now we can understand the other question. The other question is, that is why Bedafka, it had to be Shevet Yisachar. Now, what I'm saying is, you know, you'll tell me that that's not the way it is out there in the world today, but I'm talking about ideals. I'm not talking about corruption. Is the only way you'll have a koyach to do this is only if you have the koyach of Torah. I'm not saying that with Torah you're not going to, with Torah you'll also, there'll be corruption. We know that. But you have no chance. If you're not shakua, 100% immersed in the real thing, I'm not talking about make-believe Torah, but real Yirah Shemayim with real Torah, that will give you the koyach to break the cycle. Not to get carried away and do things which are going to have the consequence which will go out of control. That is why Bedafka, the second one to follow Yehuda, had to be Yisachar, the one that is Shakua, Yisachar, Chamor, Gorem, Roivetz, Ben Amishbosayim, Vayyet, Shichmo, Lispo, the all of Torah. He has the koyach to stop it right here and now, and not to let this thing get out of hand. You're going to let another shevet who's not shakua, immersed in the yoke of Torah, and Yirah Shemayim, to the same degree? It's not going to happen. I'm going to outdo. It's human nature, and it's going to get worse and worse.
Well, it could have been Yisachar also, huh?
What?
I mean, could have been Zvulun also.
Zvulun, no. Zvulun is the Baal Abatim. Yeah. Zvulun are not the Torah.
But he's a supporter of Torah.
So he's a supporter. They're not in Torah. Zvulun, they're not learning in Torah. They support Torah. They have an appreciation, but they're not the people that are sitting and learning.
That's why we say, by Tam Chacham, say from Arba Chacham, the only kina you have by Tam Chacham is kina's
Seifrim, is Torah.
Kina in the Torah.
Okay.
They don't have regular kina. In your regular case, when you try to upgrade someone else, that's just kinna.
It's just kinna. But if you have, I know it sounds a little bizarre because unfortunately we find a lot of the problems today, unfortunately, are by the B'nai Torah, because Baruch Hashem, we live in the very Torah. We live in a Torah environment, but the true, you have to do with the real pure Talmidei Chachamim, they have this tremendous koyach. Okay, let's go to an observation. I don't have a good explanation, but it's intriguing. It bothers me. I know there's something very big here. Maybe someone here can tell me what this means. I saw the question asked. I didn't see an answer. And in the beginning of Parasha Sota, it says a man suspects that his wife is playing around. His wife is not faithful. But he doesn't really know. All he knows is he told his wife, I know you're having a conversation with so-and-so. Don't go into a room alone with this individual. And his wife doesn't listen. She defies him. She enters into yichud with that individual. They're locked up for a period of time. And the husband does not know what happened. Maybe they did an Aveira. Maybe they didn't do an Aveira. So if you were writing the Torah, if you were given that job, and you were told to write to the scribe, what would you say? You would say, Dabaril b'nei yishol v'maratalim ish ki siste ishtoi umolo v'mal v'shochav ishoi soshich v'zera. Okay, v'nela meni yishol v'am yishol v'mihed. So, Pasuk Yudal. V'ovar olov ruach kino v'kinei es ishto. The husband is overtaken with a spirit of jealousy. Oh, my wife, I told her not to do it. She did it. I told her not to go into Bergdorf. Don't have yichud with the merchandise. I told her not to do it. Don't do it. V'kinei es ishtoi. And the Torah now says, I got bad news to tell you, you don't know, but v'hi nitmar. When she had yichud, you don't know this husband, she did the Avera. She is contaminated. Now the pasuk goes on to say, of our love ruach kina, the husband was overcome with a spirit of jealousy, and v'kine yesishtoi, v'hi lo nitmar. But she didn't do anything. She just had yichud. She was isolated with the individual. She didn't do an Avera. Now, l'chora, you could have shortened when you lay, when you prepare the laning, you get a little confused of the repetition. It should have just written one time. It should have just written, V'ovar olav ruach kina, husband was overcome with jealousy, v'kineis ishtai, v'hi nitma'ah, oh, he loy nitma'ah. Why does the pasuk have to say twice? V'av our love ruach kina v'hi nitma. Of our love ruach kina v'hi loy nitma. All the same, it's the same jealousy. V'av our love ruach kina v'hi nitma. Oy he loy nitma. Why the repetition? I don't have a good answer. But the answer is border on. Only what could we possibly say?
Yeah. There are no witnesses to the idea. If the man is a tzaddik, Rashi says, that you'll have a dream at night. God will help you out. He'll put a thought into your head. And you're going to accuse her just based on you had a thought process. If you're a tzaddik, God helps you out. You have a dream. You have intuition. Somehow I got the idea that you're messing around.
But did she do the Aveira or not?
You don't know.
Okay, now you can play around with this idea, but the only thing I want to point out to you is that the two expressions are not exactly the same. What's the difference? The only difference is a vav. What do I mean? The first expression is v'ovar olav ruach kina v'kineis ishtai v'hi nitma. The second expression is o or kama Ovar olav ruach kina v'kineis ishtai v'hi loy nitma. The only difference between the two expressions, it has to be like this for grammatical reasons, but even though it has to be, there's still a difference, is the vav hachibar. The first spirit of the question is this spirit of jealousy that the husband's overtaken, the fact that the Torah writes it twice. But sometimes when the Torah repeats something twice, it means exactly the same thing. And sometimes when something is repeated, it means it's not exactly the same thing. Every day in Shema, every day in Kriya Shema, we say, Ani Hashem Elokeichem. And then we say, Asher Tzeis Yeschem Eretz Mishram Liostachem Elokim. And then when we say, Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Why the repetition? You already said, Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Asher Tzeis Yeschem Eretz Mishram Liostachem Elokim. Period. So there's no need to say Ani Hashem Elokeichem. There's another God. Chas v'shav, apikorsas. So just say it in the beginning or say it at the end. Why say it twice? Why the repetition? So the answer is to teach you that sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears is noyeg with the mid of lamal lamiderech ateva. I took you out of Egypt. I took you out of Egypt with 10 makos, with Kriyas Yamsuf. I've done for you the most amazing things. But you should know, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, when Yitzias Mitzrayim is over, I'm not noyeg like that anymore. I'm noyeg al derech ateva, but I'm the same Ribbono Shel Olam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sometimes is noyeg with lamal lamiderech ateva, and he's noyeg sometimes of derech ateva. And don't make a mistake and think there are different gods. It's all the same God. So sometimes when you repeat, it's very common in Tanakh, there's repetition. The repetition means it's exactly the same. But sometimes when there's repetition, it means it's not exactly the same. I'm just giving you something to think about. I want to just suggest is that the reason why here in this particular instance it's repeated is because it's not the same type of jealousy. If it was the same type of jealousy, it would be enough to say it once. Why? What's the difference? The difference is the Vav. What do you mean the difference of the Vav? What is the Vav? The Vav means it recurs over and over again. The husband, really, he knows what happened inside, like Rabbi Mersky said. Subconsciously, he knows. His wife had yichud. His wife was miyachid with this man. Deep down inside, he knows if she did the avera. How does he know? What?
If he suspects, it doesn't matter if she did or not.
If he doesn't matter, he's no longer allowed to live with her any longer. It doesn't make a difference.
Either way, right.
Either way, but the difference will be he'll take her to the Beis HaMikdash, he'll give her the water to drink. Mm-hmm. And if she, either way, but if she, the difference is that if she did not do the Avera.
If she drinks, you have to have Eidim.
Yeah, there are witnesses.
Stage one,
witnesses that she had Yichud. The difference will be will she die or will she live? If she had Yichud, after he warned her not to have Yichud, there are witnesses, and she did the Avera, when she drinks the water, she will die. Torah guarantees it.
Well, why do they use the word that he's jealous? It's not necessarily jealousy. Maybe that he's angry that she's defiant.
Well, the Torah's word is jealousy. I don't know how do you explain it. The man is jealous. This is his wife is supposed to be loyal. That's jealous. Why is she looking to have a relationship with someone else besides her husband? That's jealousy.
Her husband is jealous.
21st century has corrupted our way of thinking. I'm telling you, it's so true. The 21st century, what we read about, in this world is just totally okay. But let's put ourselves. So I want to suggest is that the difference between these two expressions is very carefully is just the letter Vav. How the first, when the letter Vav has the connotation of again and again and again and again, it doesn't over and over. It doesn't let go. The man has a wife. He says to the wife, "What are you doing with this man in this room all alone?" Okay, I warned her. I told her, "Enough is enough. Get back to life. Get over with. Get on with life. Forget about it. Shake it off." I can't let it down. This spirit of jealousy does not leave me. That's the V'Ovar. V'Ovar has this. It eats him up. The second time is, it doesn't eat me up. Ovar, oh love, it happened. It passed on me. It came and it went. I don't know, grammatically, could you say V'Ovar? Maybe you can say V'Ovar, but it doesn't. It says or. Ovar Olav, which has a connotation, it happened once. I got jealous. You went into the room. I told you not to do it. There are witnesses. I told you not to do this. I'm jealous. But you know what? The next morning, I'm no longer jealous. Why am I no longer jealous the next morning? Because I can sense you didn't really do an Avera. Subconsciously, it's very interesting. The human mind, we're going into the deep thoughts of a person. And that's why there's no Vav. So therefore, one would suspect in that situation where a person, it doesn't really bother him anymore. A few days have passed. It doesn't bother me. I don't have to go and take her to the Kohen. I can live with her. I don't have to go and be so machmir. I can test myself. If it bothers me, then I'll take her to the Kohen, to the Beis HaMikdash, and give her the Beis Sota. If it doesn't bother me, like what you're saying, it doesn't bother me. You know why it doesn't bother me? Didn't really happen. It's no big deal. It's just everyone gets into a fight with their spouse every once in a while. So we can go on. B'Shalom Al Yisrael. The Torah says no. Even if it doesn't bother you, or The first time is v'ovar, the vav hachibur, bothers me to no end. And Torah Taka says, you're right, v'hi nitma, go bring her, take her to the Beis HaMikdash, put her to death. But what about in the situation where it doesn't bother you? Yeah, big deal. No, even if it doesn't bother you, you have to teach her a lesson.
This is very hard. Means the is much stronger on the woman than on the man.
Of course, because the woman is not only allowed to have one husband.
But the Isser of Yichud, what? I'm talking about there was a man.
Well, this is a certain type of Yichud. This is a certain type of
Yichud.
This is not your typical Yichud. This is not your typical Yichud. This is a Yichud where there's suspicion. There is suspicion.
Maybe,
so,
maybe the first one that's with above is saying that if you continue accuse your wife of having
but the Vav says the spirit, the all of our love, it's on the spirit. The all of our love.
Isolated case, then.
Okay. So perhaps this
explains that because that's why it says Vinixav and Israel Zorah.
That's the bracha.
So
it turns into a bracha.
Chachamim will malamed a woman to do that. If she has no children and she wants to have a child, she could do it. It's an optional thing. And the next seven is
Chana said, I'm going to do this. You're not going to give me a baby out there.
Leave
it with that. But perhaps this is a suggestion.
No, she didn't do it.
The Vav, this Vav, perhaps it's a little letter, but it's coming to tell us an entirely different type of Ruach. And the Chiddush is, even if it's not so bad, don't let her get away with it, because little things lead to, they mushroom. And if you don't nip it in the bud right now, Rachmana Litzlan, it can get worse and worse. You have to take care of this right away. And therefore the Torah repeats it twice, one with the Vav and one even without the Vav. Have a wonderful Shabbos.